What the Tech is brought to you by ButcherBox. Skip the store and spend more time on what's important, family. Get great meat delivered for free right to your door. Go to butcherbox.com/Andrew, claim your free bacon and $20 off. Text Expander helps you communicate smarter. Visit textexpander.com/podcast for 20% off your first year.
What's the tech?
Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Darren, and of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. John Prosser.
What up, beautiful people?
You see what I did there? I took Paul Theroux's intro, and I gave it to you.
Well, every time I come here, I've been using Paul's intro.
You know what I'm going to do? Good. You are now an official contributor to
Yes.
What the Tech.
This is all I've wanted. This is all I wanted, Andrew.
You've done
this
too many weeks in a row. Paul, he forgot to let me know that he was going to Boston on Thursday. So he messaged me on Thursday and he said, hey, I'm going to Boston. I totally forgot to tell you. And I said, don't worry about it. He goes, oh, we'll do the show on Friday. I said, yeah, cool. We'll do it on Friday. And I was going to do two shows. I was going to do Friday with Paul and I was going to do Saturday with you. And Paul forgot Friday.
Should have been like, you know what? Never mind, Paul.
Listen, he's going through a lot. But I have a meeting with him next week. So we're going to figure out a better schedule for that. But
that sounded awful. I'm going to have a meeting with him. I'm going to set him straight.
No, of course not. No, I want it to work for everybody, and I want it to be easy. But next week, we're back to normal. So no John next week, unfortunately, for some
of
you.
Don't worry.
For some of you, fortunate. But John, actually, we have a ton to talk about. I sent you notes.
Yep, you did.
And there's a lot going on, and a lot of this stuff is stuff that you are very much aware of, like the YouTube ad issue.
We
stream on Twitch right now, and Twitch is blowing up, and they may be serious competition for YouTube in the coming years. And a whole lot more stuff, obviously. But before we continue, I want to talk about a new sponsor. And that's ButcherBox. This is awesome. You can claim your free bacon plus $20 off when you visit butcherbox.com/Andrew. This is a box of meat. I'm going to tell you, dude, this is crazy, right? I live in New York City.
You do?
We have the best butchers you can imagine, right? I got a butcher down the block from me. I got, you know, you go to Manhattan, they got all these great butchers. But this company, ButcherBox, I've heard of them before. They specialize in great stuff. And all their stuff is organic. All this stuff is all natural. They're not pumped with hormones or anything like that. It's all natural. So the back to nature revolution is spreading across the country. And for What the Tech fans, you could join the movement with a special offer of bacon and $20 off your first purchase, your first box. We're also offering free shipping on every order. And each meal falls under $6. So I got this giant box of pork chops. I got steak. I got two different types of steak. I got ground beef. I got chicken. All organic stuff.
Mm.
I have to tell you, the first day I got it, I immediately defrosted it. It comes frozen. And
right.
It's special. So the way that they do it, I was on the phone with them. I was like, how do you make sure? You know, like I live in New York. So you can send this thing not frozen. Right, you can send the thing not frozen, and it'll freeze on my porch right now because it's like 30 below.
Right.
And but what do you do when you're like shipping it to Arizona? Below. Like, how do you know? Like, you're shipping it to Phoenix, and they're in the middle of a heat wave, and it's 140 degrees. How do you do? You know, what do you do? They said, "Oh, we know based on the region how to pack it, so it doesn't matter what climate you're in. They're able to ship this thing, and it's always going to be, you know, properly shipped and frozen." So the thing about these guys, and the reason why this works great for me, I was telling them how I recently started the Primal Diet. Do you know anything about this?
No, what the heck? What is the Primal Diet?
I don't want to bore you guys with my personal diet and that stuff, but, you know, a couple
primal
years ago...
Primal Diet rundown, go.
Yeah, a couple years ago, I lost 40 pounds. I come from a family of bodybuilders. You know, I've heard Joe Rogan talk about this also, how much he loves this company. But I come from a family of bodybuilders. They've always ate well, and I always took care of myself. And then I got a little lazy, and I put on about 40 pounds that I shouldn't have. I lost all this weight doing the Primal Diet. So when the New Year came and these guys were going to send me the shipment, you know, of the ButcherBox, I said, this is a perfect time to go back to the Primal Diet. I'm down 12 pounds already since the New Year. So essentially all I do is eat organic meat. Organic, non-hormone,
grass-fed. I was going to ask, is this where you start eating eggs? Just raw eggs?
I do the eggs in the morning, but for dinner or lunch, I'll have, and it's always organic. It's always clean. It's phenomenal. It's great. So I highly, highly recommend it. You could claim your free bacon, and you get $20. Also, the bacon is all natural, too. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. If you're a new customer, you get $20 off plus bacon. Sign up by going to butcherbox.com/Andrew. What I'm going to do the next couple weeks, I'm going to talk about my experience more because I have more stuff that I'm going to make. And I want to, you know, kind of work you through my process of my diet, my primal diet, and this. My wife's doing it too, and she really was not a meat eater, and now she's, you know, she's sticking to this with me, so it's excellent. Butcherbox.com/Andrew. So, let's begin. Let's talk about this ad issue. So, I saw on, you know, this affects a lot of people. Big time YouTubers, small time YouTubers. No. It doesn't affect anybody.
It doesn't affect the bigger guys.
Okay.
It affects, well, the bigger guys. It's all smaller channels and... Say what?
The bigger guys have had takedowns and all these other.
Oh, the bigger guys are, yeah. That's what people don't consider is, like, we're dealing with far bigger issues up here in the bigger brackets, like far bigger issues
on YouTube.
The smaller, yeah. So you're talking about where they changed the partner program, right?
Yeah. So what happened exactly? Because I had a lot of people ask me how it's affecting me, and I laughed and I said it doesn't affect me because they took my partnership away about eight yeah. years ago. Yeah. Eight years ago,
they took my partnership. So, they've been having problems with the partner program, where people. I mean, it started with the adpocalypse, right? And late 2016, early 2017, when the first adpocalypse happened, where they found that ads were being placed on the wrong videos. Like mm-hmm. brands were freaking out. Like Coca-Cola had been. It stemmed from screenshots that the Wall Street Journal took that later came out that were fake, that there was a Coca-Cola really? Ad on an ISIS video.
Oh, my God.
It was a fake screenshot of an ad.
Okay.
But the brands freaked out. Coca-Cola pulled. Everyone pulled their ads. Like, everyone. All the major brands pulled their ads.
Let me cut you off there.
Go ahead.
Oh, number one, why is there an ISIS video?
Good right question.
Number two, why how are they monetizing that? YouTube is monetizing? Obviously they're not a YouTube partner.
No. Yeah, that's the problem. At the time, anyone could be a partner except Andrew Zarian.
Yeah. ISIS could be a YouTube partner except for Andrew Zarian and What the Tech and GFQ. I have reapplied countless amount of times.
The partner program has changed throughout the years. Before, I mean, when I started YouTube, there was no partner program. I'm sure, same with you.
Yeah.
In 2009-ish, they introduced it, but you had to meet requirements, and then after you met the requirements, you had to apply, and then if you were accepted, you got a letter in the mail from Google saying that you were accepted. And, like, people totally forget that. People assumed I've never had to deal with, like, limitations and all that. It's ridiculous. And then YouTube made a grave, grave mistake of letting everyone be partner. All you got to do is verify your account with your phone number, and you're pretty much good to go.
You're good to go, yeah.
You can just be – you connect it with your AdSense account, and boom, you can be partnered. And through the partnership, you know, you got, like, the – you got the live streaming feature and the custom thumbnails and all that stuff, but you also got monetization. Yep. And the wrong videos were being monetized, and companies freaked out. They pulled their ads, so YouTube tried to refix how they go about allowing people into the partnership program. So they initially set up a rule saying that you needed 10,000 lifetime views on your channel. Like, throughout the channel's lifespan, you needed 10,000 views. Well, that's a problem because anyone can get 10,000 views. Like, you could just bought that. You could buy 10,000 views and get it.
Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of people did, right?
Yeah. So now they've changed it again. Now you need 1,000 subscribers, and within the last year, you need 4,000 hours of watch time.
Interesting. Okay. So hard. I mean, first of all, is that a bad thing?
No.
No.
Now, small creators feel like they're, like, I've literally had people, I don't know if you've seen my Twitter, it's been a total mess.
Yeah.
It's just hundreds of people calling me names and telling me that YouTube is censoring them or trying to kill small creators. And everyone's like, well, now I really do have to give up. Now YouTube really doesn't want me on the platform.
Here's a question. They're just trying
to get you to work harder.
Okay, here's a question. When we talk about small-time creators, right? In some people's eyes, I'm a small-time creator. Especially on YouTube. I'm a small-time creator on YouTube. You know, we do well with the podcast. We do about 25,000 downloads or whatever it is for that week, you know, average for the podcast. But on YouTube, we really only have a couple thousand people that watch the show. So, yeah, we're a small-time creator on YouTube because we don't rely on YouTube as our backbone. What do we mean by small-time creator? Are we talking about 10,000? Are we talking about 30,000? Like, what's a small-time guy?
Well, I would say 1,000 under.
1,000 under. That's okay.
So the people who are being affected right now are the people that have under 1,000 subscribers or don't meet that watch time criteria.
Okay, so how are they expected to make money if nobody is how did they expect to make money?
That's the problem. Thank you for understanding this right away. Like, these small creators are arguing over like $4 right now. That's what they don't understand.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You aren't making any money. And people and these creators are saying, "Well, what if I get a viral video throughout the month? And I don't get paid for that?"
No, you do.
No.
What do you mean?
No, you don't. Like, okay, so if they have a viral video, they have 500 subscribers, yeah, they're not getting paid for that.
They're not getting paid. But if you have a viral video, there's a good chance that it's going to go viral and people are going to subscribe to you.
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell these people. Like, they're like, well, I get 1 million views a month and I should be getting paid for that. And I was like, first of all, if you're getting 1 million views a month and you don't meet the subscriber criteria,
there's something wrong. Yeah.
Like, you are doing something wrong. Either you're re-uploading videos that aren't yours, they're clickbait. Whatever's happening is not good enough for people to stick around.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Big-time creators, small-time creators, doesn't matter. So, I don't know what's playing. I was about, wow, that was spooky. I'm about to talk about my kid finding weird YouTube videos. And
that's exactly, yeah.
Something just started in the living room. So, this doesn't really have to do with it, but I wanted to bring this up a couple weeks ago and I keep forgetting. So my kid, you know, my kid's two, right? And okay. I'm there with her and she's on my tablet and we're watching stuff and she's clicking on stuff and she was watching Baby Boss, right? Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Boss Baby. Yeah, Boss Baby. It's her favorite thing. So she wanted to see like clips of it. So we started clicking on it and she found Five Little Monkeys Boss Baby Edition. So it's Boss Baby. And it's the Five Little Monkeys, you know.
By the way, I just want to say, what you're about to talk about is not totally unrelated.
Okay. Do you know about this?
This is a very, very real problem that you're talking about.
So I'm looking at it, and it's terrible. And the guy, it's like, this is what it sounds like. And I'm so sorry for people. And I got to draw this out for you. It goes, Five Little Monkey, jump on bed, fall down, break head. You know, it's like that. So I'm like, what is this? This is like a weird thing that I stumbled on, and I look on the side suggested videos, and there's Five Little Monkeys, and this video, by the way,
you're in a vortex.
I'm in a vortex. This video has 250,000 views. Now there's every single character you could imagine, right?
Yep.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man and Elsa, is a big
whatever.
Problem.
Everything. Hulk. Magneto. Anything. Anything you could imagine. It's the same video over and over again. And then the topper. Hitler edition.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The one you sent me.
I sent it to you.
Yeah, that's a kid's video.
It's a kid's video. And I'm almost 100% it was monetized.
Oh, it was.
I'm almost positive it was. If it wasn't, then the other ones were. You know, maybe this is why YouTube is kind of saying, like, okay, I'm not defending YouTube because I think they do some terrible things. And they're very big on censorship that I'm totally against. They censor inappropriately. They take down videos inappropriately. I have many friends that do unbiased political coverage. Unbiased. They're not picking to a side. They're reporting it, and they will get taken down because of a certain tag.
Okay, well, this is where you got to understand. We're not talking about people. We're talking about an algorithm here.
Yeah.
And the algorithm doesn't know emotions. It doesn't know context.
Yeah.
It doesn't know that dude's unbiased. It just sees... there's a video.
But would it not
know
Five Little Monkeys Hitler edition maybe is not a, you know?
Okay, well, okay, so here's what's happening. And YouTube knows about it. They've admitted it's a problem. The problem is they admitted that it was an issue way too late. So what started happening is a total abuse of the algorithm, right? So they're assholes. They're just like slimy assholes that know that people are looking for these Disney movies.
Yeah.
Like Elsa and all Frozen, all that stuff.
Who's looking up Five Little Monkeys Hitler Edition? Who's that guy?
But because you're not going to find copyrighted content from these companies, like you're not going to find real clips from the movies and stuff on YouTube, and these people know it. So since you're not going to find real, like genuine Disney content, they make the content.
Yeah.
And they game the algorithm parents are looking for it, or they know kids are looking for it. Like imagine you weren't there.
Yeah.
And Taylor's just looking through stuff and she's in the vortex and she doesn't know anybody.
Listen, it's very
easy.
She's
just watching garbage.
After a couple glasses of Jameson on the rocks, I go down that vortex and I always end up with a flat earth video.
that's where it always ends.
Yeah, I mean, it always ends up with me getting really into a flat earth video and then writing nasty comments to people online.
Well, I mean, that's a real problem that like people, and they were making so much money. Like there was these Spider-Man and Elsa videos that, I mean, you could see just skyrocket. And they were really sexual and terrible. Then eventually you saw
the Bradbury guys
riding his Lamborghini.
That, right?
Yeah, because he was making so much money.
It was
ridiculous. Since then, though,
they've gotten
better. I mean, the problem still exists, but YouTube has, like, they don't even think twice. They're just removing the channel entirely, like gone, erasing it. Never existed.
Yeah. You know what I would like? I would like a video of five little Percocets and just a little round Percocet. That's the video for me. I think it's very interesting that, you know, all this stuff is happening now, and they're getting hit so hard with all this stuff. So what's the answer for this? So with the ad revenue, and I tell people all the time.
This is a really good answer.
And I know the only reason why I'm talking about this is because all 2 weeks, I've been getting messages from people asking me what I think. And I'm going to tell you cut and dry my opinion on this. I do not rely on other people, on other brands and companies for my living. I've always been a believer that once you have an audience and you have a true following, the advertisers will come. We have an ad department that you know, every couple of weeks we go and we try to find new companies and we try to negotiate deals and we do all this stuff. Then we have an ad company that represents us. We have two ad companies that represent us. So when we monetize, it's not coming from one place.
Right.
YouTube does not care about your content. They don't care at all. All they care about is the ad on the video. They do not care. All they want is to monetize on you. And if it doesn't fit their model of monetization and it doesn't fit their narrative on how they want to monetize, they're not going to advertise with you. They're not going to put a video.
These I'm so glad that you get it. There's so many people that don't get it. And one follower that I've had for a long time that came from your audience, Twitter handle, it's like Kanye with Trump's hair.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Did he beat
totally
you up?
Totally freaked out on me.
Yeah,
totally
good.
Freaked
good.
Out.
You know what?
Like,
you deserve
so
it.
So bad, so bad that I blocked him. Like he was dropping
Kanye
the C
Trump
word
Esquire.
And, like, yeah, he was just being a total dick.
Good.
And so like I had this opinion, same opinion that you have.
Yeah.
And because of a YouTuber that he watches that has a million followers, since I didn't agree with that YouTuber, I was wrong. And he's like, you should look up to bigger YouTubers, but you're just a C word. And
maybe
you deserve
you are,
a slap.
But listen, you are a little nasty. You are a little.
No. It's just there's no opinions here, though.
No, I
That's
know.
The
I
issue.
Know that. I
there's
know
no
that.
Opinions. There's just facts. And if you don't listen to what we're saying, you're going to lose.
Listen, there's always going to be the exception to our argument, right? But I'll give you another example. When I started doing this, I was on Stickham, okay? And Stickham paid me money. And I made money because Leo left Stickham, right? Leo left Stickham. Yeah. I came up and they offered me a nice deal and I was making a nice penny. And they would feature me front page and I had, John, I'm talking numbers like in a 24-hour period, 145,000 views.
Yeah.
Were they really viewing for me or were they just clicking through? Right? That's number one.
If
I had an audience,
I bet it was real.
I had an audience. It wasn't 120,000 people per day, but I had an audience. Now, They go away, and what happens? Oh, wait a minute. Those aren't my real numbers. This is closer to my real number.
Yeah.
I went to Justin TV, and you know what happened to Justin TV? My numbers went up, and then they went away. And wait a minute, those weren't my real numbers. And I said, hell with this. I'm not dedicating myself to a platform. I'm not dedicating myself to a brand. My brand is mine. And yeah, it'll hurt me in the short term because my ego won't be boosted when I only see 100 people or 200 people. But at the end of the day, I can make more money because those are real followers. I'm not catering to an imaginary world. So, and that's the problem with YouTube right now.
Well, okay, so if you have, first of all, if you have 1,000 subscribers, you shouldn't be worrying about money. Don't get mad
because
you
took
away your $4.
Yeah.
And they keep saying, well, they make money off of us. We're just going to leave. We're just going to boycott. Andrew said it a second ago. Nobody cares. No one cares about your cute little videos. Nobody.
But you know what, though? Maybe the answer change.
Because when you leave, real creators will keep going. They'll keep making stuff.
But here's the thing. But maybe, and I'm for this, if enough content creators decide to say, you know what, this system does not work for me, I'm out of here, and I'm going to a new platform, you know what's going to happen? That other platform will become big, and they'll get what they want.
They'll get the same problems elsewhere, though.
It'll be the same. They'll get what they want, and then the company will mature, and it won't fit their brand, and then they'll move on.
YouTube they haven't profited ever. YouTube can't make a profit. They're barely breaking even here. And that's Google. Like, Google's one of the only companies that has this money to sustain YouTube. Imagine going to another platform, giving the platform that problems, and expecting that platform to be able to pay the bills too. Not going to happen. There is nobody on this planet right now, and there won't be for the very foreseeable future, that can compete with YouTube. They just cannot do it.
I don't know about that. I'm going to tell you something.
No, there's not. Nobody has the infrastructure.
I'm going to tell you something. In the next 2 years, I am willing to bet that we will have another platform. And it's not going to be Facebook.
We just had one, dude. We just had VidMe.
And they're gone.
The next bastion. And everyone, it's gone. They removed it because they can't pay the bills. They don't have the money.
Well, maybe Amazon's the answer.
Here's the thing. People are like, well, I deserve to be paid for my work, blah, 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 blah. I'm uploading to YouTube, blah, blah, blah. These people were not on the internet before YouTube was around, and you couldn't have free video hosting. Gigs of your videos can be uploaded, and it doesn't matter. Like, it's just like, you get it for free. What other, what time on the internet were you able to do that? Like, that's insane. You get to upload on a platform for free. Not only for free, but the platform has millions and millions of people. Like, the audience is there. Like, they give you an entire outlet, and you're mad because you don't get $4.
Yeah.
Imagine, Andrew, this works for us because this is our mindset. Imagine these creators with their 1,000 subscribers going to Coca-Cola and saying, hey, will you sponsor me? Coca-Cola's going to say, okay, why? And they're going to say, I don't know, because I work hard on my videos. That's not how advertising works.
But does it fit the brand? What are you talking about? What is your content? What's your following?
One day people have to realize that advertising is not about the creator.
What's your P1? What's your P2? I mean, these are things that most people don't understand.
They don't think about it. They're just mad that why isn't there an ad on my video? Yeah. Because I worked hard on it.
Listen,
you don't get money because you worked hard on something.
Listen, back in the day, you could those one-hit wonder videos, you can make a killing off of it. I think I had one video that I made $3,000 off of. Because it went viral. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what did it mean to my brand and what did it mean to my viewership and what did it mean to the company? Did the company lose money or make money off my video? I'm willing to bet they lost money by giving me money because who knows what that ad was.
Right.
You know, we could talk about this for
days. The 4,000 hours watch time is great because now you can't buy views and bot views because those bots, they only stay on the video for a millisecond and then leave.
Yeah, but somebody will come up with a bot that fixes,
And watch time is like that. That's a great metric on YouTube. It's just like how long do people stay on the video? How long do they watch your stuff? Yeah. That's to me that's something that matters. And I'm really glad YouTube's doing that.
Yeah.
If you really look at it, 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time throughout the entire year. That's not that hard. And I think we're lucky that YouTube gives us access to these brands and monetization even at that level.
Yeah, no, I listen. I'm sure there's going to be a discussion we're going to continue on, but we've spent so much time on this. So maybe we should move on. But, you know,
gets me all fired up.
Yeah, I know, but I wanted your insight on this because you make money on YouTube.
Well, you just need just take a step back, realize that YouTube is not a job. YouTube is your outlet.
Yeah.
And you got to be like every other person that runs a business, that you got to adapt. You have to have multiple revenue streams. You got to think of yourself as a business, and YouTube is your outlet. They never asked you to work for them. They didn't hire you. So if they pull away your revenue stream, you can't bitch about it. You got to do what every other business owner would do and adapt. That's the same thing that happened to Patreon. Do you remember that a couple weeks ago?
Listen, everything melted down, but they went back to it. You know, I'm still suffering. And by the way, you know how much money I lost? About half my patrons are gone. I'm never getting them back again. They're gone.
But that's scary, right?
That is scary.
You're relying on a platform.
On a platform. They just
one change, and it just like
yeah. But guess what?
Out.
Guess what? I don't put all my eggs in one basket, and that's what we need to learn from this. I have so much more to talk about, obviously. But before we continue, I want to talk about a great sponsor. And this is something that we all use, and I use it all the time. And it's Text Expander. If you go to textexpander.com/podcast, you got 20% off your first year of membership. So I know, John, you go through this a lot. You have so many contacts and so many things. And how many times do you write the same Twitter every single week, the same post every single week? You know, I will repeatedly, over and over again, write the same stuff because it's part of my job. You know, with my other job, I have to, it's quite annoying, but I have to constantly write the same exact thing every single day. So with Text Expander, they have snippets. They have a set of a variety of ready-to-made snippets, or you can make your own, where whenever you hit a key, so it's almost like if I'm going to write, you know, going live today, if I write G-O-L, it'll fill out the entire form for me, which is awesome. It's using a Mad Lib style of fill-in-the-blank concept here, and it's really cool. If you constantly have to meticulously write down stuff, like you could insert, let's say you go to conventions a lot and you meet all these people and you need to send emails and you're putting them in your database, you could just do a hotkey. You could just create, you know, a symbol or an emoji or, you know, whatever it is, and that symbol or emoji or whatever will mean this entire long spiel that you're writing. Here's an example.
Right.
Let's say you want to write email. Right. And you want to set it. So you do EM1 and that would be the email for that set. And it would fill in the email automatically. This is a great, great, great feature. And it saves you so much time. It's available on Mac, Windows, iPhone, iPad. And it's currently available on nearly all your devices. Technically, you could put it on everything. It's a great, great service from a great company. And I highly, highly recommend you try it out. TextExpander.com/podcast. You get 20% off your first year when you sign up. Let them know we sent you. I use it every single day. I actually used them when I sent out the tweets today. I just did WTT and just put it out.
And it just put the tweet in for
filled it out. Yeah, filled it out. I had to change the time because we're doing it on a different day, but it just filled out the whole spiel. Excellent. TextExpander.com/podcast. Let's talk about the iPhone stuff that's happening. And then I want to dive into a long thing about social media and where it's headed over the next couple of years because
gotcha.
I think we're in the cesspool era of social media. But I want to take time and talk about the iPhone and the latest rumors of it. 6.5-inch and a 6.1-inch iPhone coming this fall. What do you think, John? I know you love this. You love the iPhone stuff.
So, yeah, we're supposed to get an iPhone. Well, the same like design of an iPhone 10 and then a larger one, right?
So we've gone to the Samsung model now, huh? This is what we're doing? 10,000 different phones?
Yep.
And they're all different varieties from Apple?
Well, I mean, are you surprised at this point? Apple now has a product for every price bracket.
Every single price bracket, yeah.
That's what they did with the MacBook.
Here's the argument. Too many products? Too many of the same product?
I can't say that. It's just like we're at a point where releasing one product a year doesn't fit anymore. Like you just can't get away with it.
Yeah.
Because while Apple was, you know, releasing one iPhone a year, here comes Samsung releasing their 20 phones a year and all these other companies, and it's just like it's like they got forced into doing it. I don't know if it's the best thing for them. because I feel like things are getting rushed. I mean, the iPhone X was released 2 months earlier than it was originally supposed to because they just wanted to get it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they were supposed to put Touch ID under the display, but they couldn't get it done in time, and they just released it without Touch ID, and they made it sound like, oh, yeah, we did this on purpose because this is the future. Face ID, or we just want you to use Face ID because it's that good. When in reality, they were trying to get Touch ID into the display, and they couldn't do it quick enough.
Yeah, I don't know what the right move here is. I really don't, because I fear that they had to adapt to this model to compete with Samsung and the 5,000, you know, different phones that they put out, the J version and the this version and the that version. I just don't know if this model fits the allure of the brand. Do you think this is going to hurt them in the long run or no?
No. Oh, and when we talk about all these Samsung phones, we're not talking necessarily about flagships. Samsung releases a bunch of phones throughout the year that aren't flagships that you most likely you never hear about. It's not in the mainstream news that are much like lower price brackets. But now here's the thing, like regardless of whether we like what Apple's doing, Tim Cook is a gangster. Like they are one of the most wealthy companies in the world, and they have never made as much money as they are right now with Tim Cook. Like he makes that company money. He knows exactly what he's doing. They're really, really good at, you know, filling the market and making a bunch of money. They're about to be the world's first $1 trillion company. So I mean, they're making money, and no matter what we say about Apple and like, oh, their vision has changed, nobody is going to be convinced, and Apple's not going to be convinced that what they're doing is wrong until they see their sales drop. And their sales aren't going to drop if they keep putting out new stuff, more products. How would it? Because selling three products is always going to make you more money than selling one.
Yeah. Do me a favor. I got to go and turn this encoder on because it died downstairs in the server room.
You're going to go downstairs.
I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to run to the bay. I want you to time me, okay? We're going to make this into a contest.
I'm going to time you. I'm going to time you.
You're going to time me, and you're going to stall for me.
Okay.
Are you ready?
What do you want me to talk about?
Whatever you want, and go. Time me.
Okay, I'm timing him. Well, I'm using stopwatch on Google, by the way. Hopefully this isn't terribly embarrassing. I'm also wondering, because he said the encoder stopped. So is it just you? Is it just you guys and me? Is this it? Are we just a couple now? And this isn't actually going to be recorded. We're just hanging out privately. In which case, I would accept money to take clothing off. Possibly, would be willing to. I just need to know if it's just. What, are you back? What?
I'm back.
I wasn't doing anything.
How fast was that?
34 seconds.
34 seconds.
Cut to you. Are you out of breath? I want to see you.
All right, I'm good. I ran.
So was the encoder stopped? So was was it not recording?
No. Everything's recording. It's just there it is.
I told him while you were gone, I may be willing to accept money to take clothing off.
Oh, you know what? That would be great.
Yeah.
Could we monetize that on YouTube?
I mean, that is monetized. They're giving us money. And I'll take my clothes off.
Now I'm out of breath. You know, when I was running.
That's taking the revenue into our control. Andrew.
When I was running, I was okay. Now I'm sitting down. What happens at the ripe old age of recording?
55.
Yeah. There we go. Let's hit stream. There we go. Thank you, John. We're live. Okay. So we're back, everybody. I don't know. You know what? I know you don't use an iPhone anymore, but would you use the 6.5 or the 6.1?
6.1.
I'm curious to see how well this model works for them. Very interesting.
That's just because I have small monkey hands.
Yeah, tiny little hands on you, huh? So let's talk about the Nintendo Labo.
What is this thing? See, here's the beautiful thing, Andrew. Yeah. Since we took the week off, I haven't looked at anything. Like I'm just total tech news blackout. What is this?
It's a cardboard box.
Oh, cool, cool. They're selling it?
They're selling it. They're selling you cardboard boxes.
For how much?
I don't know. It depends on the device. Nintendo, let's
find
out.
What is it? Okay, what is it? I'll ask that first.
Look it up. It's hard to describe. It's literally a cardboard box.
You were hoping I knew. I know you.
It's a cardboard box that you design for different types.
$70?
Yeah, $70. But depends, and you could get different types of cardboard boxes. You have a different type of cardboard box. It's a bizarre. And you know what? By the way, they're saying that this is huge. This is great for kids.
Their stock price went up.
Yeah. So they are doing very well with the Nintendo Switch, by the way. They sold a lot of Switches last year thanks to the unique ability to play, you know, on the game and then on the screen. And you also had games like Legend of Zelda and Mario Odyssey. And they've done very well with this thing. So now they've created this Nintendo Labo is a series of experiences for Switch that lets you or your kids build cardboard objects and play games with them. Robots, fishing poles, piano. There's a lot to build. And you can
That's kind of cute. I just saw the piano.
Yeah, it's actually a very interesting concept. And I'm curious what the end goal with this is. You know, is this something that's going to take off? So you could get the robot kit, for example, for $80. And that includes a far more complex cardboard toy cutout. Then you get, you know, you create all these things with this. I don't know how well this is going to go. You know, this is such a Nintendo gimmick. Maybe you should give me the games that I want rather than coming up with cardboard boxes.
can we all just take a second and, like, just appreciate the fact that somehow Nintendo pulled everything off? Like, they were in a real bad place, like, near, like, end of company just a couple years ago.
Yeah, but is it really selling that well, or is it that the tech media loves Nintendo now?
No, they saved themselves. It's pretty impressive. Like, no one remembers how bad off they were just a few years ago. Like, they were borderline not going to make it. But I don't know. They've just I think they're on the right track, and I don't see why this. I mean, it's a one of a kind sort of thing. I haven't
seen
anything like this.
It's a very one of a kind of thing. You know, this kind of this bridges
the gap. I don't
know if
it's $70 worth, but
well, what saved them with the Switch is the fact that you don't ever need a TV. You could play it on, you know.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal,
and it's like a perfect price point too.
Yeah, what's the price point now? Two something, right?
$300, like yeah. $299. Yeah,
yeah. They hit upon a unique product, says Bob Hazelwood in our chat room, and he's absolutely right. They did hit upon a great, and the market is interesting for them because they don't. It's not the best looking device, right?
The Switch.
I'm sorry. It's not like I'm talking about graphics wise. It doesn't have
no,
the best
and
graphics.
Like the screen is plastic and just like. But, like, it doesn't matter because it's a perfect price point. It's, like, these are, like, things that you couldn't overlook if it was $500, right? Yeah. You can't get away with giving it a plastic screen and all this stuff. But, like, $299, yeah, sure, it's a plastic screen, but you're not poking the screen all the time. It comes with a dock. You can use the dock and play everything on your TV. It's just, like, and it was really unique, right? So... You plug it in your TV, but you can also take the Joy-Cons out and use those as your controllers while it's on the TV. And it was unique.
Yeah, it's very unique. And by the way, I absolutely love this backpack one, the robot one. You know what? I take it back. This looks awesome. I would love to do this. You get this little backpack and like these string arms and you're like a robot.
I think the piano one looked cool.
Piano one looks cool too. This is very interesting. You know, they're kind of, is this their answer to VR? I think so, right? This is their answer at this point. You put on these little cardboard boxes.
So this is a Switch accessory.
It is. Yeah. That's very interesting. Very interesting that they're doing so freaking well with this product where people were crapping on them. Listen, never underestimate the underdog. When your back is against the wall and you are one of the innovators of this entire industry, now you got to get your act together, but you can't really compete with the quality and the pricing. Of Sony and Microsoft, guess what? You make something that's less in quality, but more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're trying to do. Yeah, listen, it works. You know, as long as the kids buy it, that's what matters. I want to talk about social media before we kind of run off and get into a whole discussion here.
Okay.
You know, the last year has been very interesting when it comes to social media. Everybody's become a political expert. And I'm not getting into a political conversation, but everybody's become
smart.
a poli-sci major. You know, everybody has their master's in poli-sci now, and everybody knows what they're talking about, and they evaluate, and everybody's now a journalist. You know, even people that were in technology now are only writing about politics. It's gotten hot. But now I think we're at a point where we're overly saturated with so much information. It's just noise at this point.
Yeah.
I'm in the my business, my everything relies on being online. There are days that I don't even want to look at my Twitter feed. I just don't. It's so. Same. And is this culturally, you know, shifting how we perceive things? Are we becoming just cynical? And, you know, I think there is a major change on the way that we function now because of the way social media is.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I don't know what the end result will be. You know, in 5 years, where are we going to be with Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook?
Well, you saw what Facebook did the past week or so, right?
With what? Which one?
So Facebook actually, and I can't believe this happened, because Mark Zuckerberg sort of put his money where his mouth is. Instead of relying on the algorithm and, like, because, I mean, Facebook is just a cesspool. It's bad.
It's gotten unbearable with the groups and all the, you know,
and the way, like, the ads work and the stuff that you see that, you know, Facebook, the way the algorithm works on Facebook is they put stuff on there to keep you on there longer. So it might be stuff that they know will make you angry or whatever. Mark Zuckerberg came out and said they're going to change the algorithm to make things show up in your feed that you want to see, that, like, will be more positive and all that stuff, less ads and whatnot. And they lost a ton of money. Like, they lost, like, their stock dropped and they lost like $1 billion.
Yeah.
And that's what surprised me, was somehow Mark Zuckerberg made a move that wasn't good, that wasn't smart for, like, advertising and Facebook revenue, in exchange to make the actual customer happier, which was a weird move, but also, I mean, you got to respect it. I mean, and also, he's not going broke anytime soon, so he's fine. But, like, it was just an interesting move to see them, like, focus less on the algorithm and advertisers and that sort of stuff, and just give you stuff that they think that you'll be happier about.
Well, but here's the thing. They have to do that, because if people are unhappy with the platform, then even though they're making ad money now, for the long term, it's not a smart investment, because they're all going to stop using the platform. For me, what's happened is I no longer see things from people that I actually want to see it, because Facebook has decided that I only care about four different things. I only care about technology, I only care about pro wrestling, and I only want to hear from these five people. And my entire feed now is just garbage of the same exact repetitive thing. I was talking to someone about how I use Reddit the other day. And I don't like logging into my Reddit account, because it only caters that front page and things that, you know, show up to what I've subscribed to. And that's not something that I like to do. I like to learn about things that I never would learn about. I want to hear other people's opinions. I don't want to just hear my mentality, my thought process. I want to hear why, you know, I think that creates growth as people, being exposed to unpopular opinions and popular opinions and stuff that you may not believe or stuff that you don't know. I think that's how we grow as people.
That's good for functioning human beings.
But what they've done on social media now is that they've catered to what, you know, the three things that you're really into, that's that majority, 90% is all that. Like, right now, I'm on my Facebook. I have my Mat Men Pro Wrestling group. I have another wrestling group. I have the Bayside group, which is where I'm from. And then I have, you know, people that are in the field of things that I'm subscribed to showing up. And then sometimes it determines that I want to see this guy, like this guy Brian. I don't know who this guy is, but he shows up all day long on my feed, but I never see anything from, you know, people that I actually want to hear from.
Right.
And this is, by the way, I always click it, you know, do the most recent, but this is by default, it's what it decides for you.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, these social feeds don't go chronologically anymore.
Well, look at Instagram. I think Instagram made a big mistake by going to their bizarro algorithm and not going based on, you know, latest.
Yeah.
Because if I don't want to hear from you, why would I follow you? Why would I subscribe to you?
Yeah.
Right? Like, the whole thing is, I want to see everybody. So I'd want to see what you wrote. I don't care about what you wrote 3 days ago. I want to see what you're writing now.
Yeah. That's why when Twitter moved this direction, it didn't make any sense to me, because a lot of what you see on Twitter is like right now.
Yeah, it's at the moment.
And a lot of stuff like matters. Like if I follow people like you or my favorite YouTuber or something, they're like, I'm going live now, but I see it 4 hours from now.
Doesn't
help me.
Yeah, it doesn't help you. Doesn't help you at all. They've kind of gotten too much into themselves. You know, like when you're in an industry, I always tell people this, when you're in an industry, you stop thinking like the consumer, like your clients. You start thinking just because you're in. I like to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. My thought, you know, I work in the marketing world. And I always try to think to myself, I don't want to, you know, the product that I'm providing caters to a very specific group of people. But if we want to grow and we want to reach new people, we have to think like someone that knows nothing about this.
Exactly.
And that's how you cater to that.
People don't think like that, though.
I think what's happened is we've gotten so reliant on just seeing what we want to see and hearing what we want to hear. And it actually shows you, that's a great example of the current political climate, where we will refuse to even acknowledge that there is a different philosophy out there.
Well, hey, maybe now that the government shut down, everyone talking about politics will shut down.
Is that how it works? Because I really hope that's
I hope so.
But even in technology, right? Like, I'll give an example. I follow a lot of Windows-based, Microsoft-based writers. I follow Paul, Mary Jo, Brad, all these, you know, a lot of that. I don't just want to hear their opinion. I want to hear from the Apple side. I want to hear what all the other people are saying, because that's how I create, you know, my own opinion, not someone else's opinion.
Well, Twitter started doing this to me too. Like, okay, I love Moments. It's how I get my news every day. I'm always checking Twitter Moments. It's just that to me is the best way for news to be aggregated for me. But Twitter has started to do this new thing where in the Moments tab, they also show you a list of tweets based off of a thing they think you like. And they put it above news that I want to know about. And I can't like go into settings and say, hey, I don't want to see this. There's no way for me to opt out. And because I follow you and because I follow Mattman, in my Moments, there's a list of just bullshit. Like there's Dean Ambrose photo of the day. Just some random Twitter account showing Dean Ambrose half naked. And like that's not news. And I can't opt out of it. It just exists because I follow Mattman.
Yeah.
So it's nothing important. It's not news. It's literally Dean Ambrose photo of the day. Every day I have a new photo of Dean Ambrose. It's like I bought a Dean Ambrose calendar, and this is just what I live with now.
Is that what you have now? You have a Dean Ambrose calendar?
Pretty much. That's it.
Is he shirtless or he has a shirt?
It's random photo of the day. Some days he's shirtless. Some days he's clothed and classy.
It's so bizarre, man. It's so bizarre. And the other thing, I think what's happened, and it's so scary when you think about, you know, movements, right? I was talking to someone and he was very upset over, I don't want to get into his political affiliation, but he was very upset over this very left-leaning subgroup that exists.
Okay.
And he goes, you see this? He goes, you believe this shit? This is what's happening online, and this is what people are believing. And I said, well, here's the thing. The more you talk about it, the more it becomes a bigger issue. This is a fraction of a group of people, of a political group, right? Like, I'm not getting political. And this goes for both sides. This is a fraction, a tiny percentage that thinks this. You are spending so much time and effort and energy on something that is a few thousand people or a few hundred people that subscribe to a bizarre philosophy. Why not concentrate on growing better and growing yourself and seeing something else and not being so upset? People get so worked up on social media, it's nuts. And I think this is really affecting us as a society. I think we're going to have a total rejection of all this. We're going to go backwards. I think one day people are just going to be like, you know what? I can't handle this anymore. I'm done. I'm waiting for that moment. I'm waiting for that revolution to happen. The anti-social medias.
We are getting less and less algorithm-based. I mean, even with YouTube, we just kind of learned that oh, maybe humans do know more than the algorithm.
Yeah, so what's going to be their answer with that? How do we...
Well, they just hired 10,000 more people.
To act as an algorithm.
So, do you know what the Google Preferred program is?
Yes and no. Yeah, I know a little bit about it.
There's the partner program, and then there's the preferred program. It's channels that, like, Google completely trusts.
Yeah.
And they get a crazy high CPM, like crazy high, 100% more money because Google trusts them. Their videos never get demonetized. They're in this little trusted group. But now, because of the Logan Paul issue, they've hired 10,000 people that will manually watch these Google Preferred Program videos and manually say, yeah, this is okay for ads or no. So the algorithm's going to be minimal, and now there's 10,000 new employees that are going to be deciding,
this is okay
for advertisers or no.
The other issue with that is, if I'm one of those 10,000 people, and let's say you have a show and 50 of them are offended by you. They don't like your face. And now they say, you know what? I don't like this show. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like that he said this. I don't like his opinion on this subject.
Hear my feelings.
Whatever. What's the consequence?
They like Andrew Zarian more than they like me. And so Andrew Zarian's getting monetized.
There are a lot of top YouTubers that I genuinely think they provide great content, but I don't necessarily agree with what they say. I don't get offended. I don't take it personally, but... You know, even in the tech world, you know, you don't have to like everything I say, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't like everything I say. You should like some things I say, and you should tell me what you don't like so I could grow as a person. I'm all about growing, man. Except for John. I don't care to hear from you. So the whole Logan Paul thing, though, he was doing some weird shit for a while.
Yeah. That's the best part.
I mean... It's nothing new.
It's beautifully ignored until you can't ignore it anymore.
Yeah. Until it becomes a big headline, right? That's when they do it.
Yep.
So do you think, what's going to be the end result for this? In 5 years, where do you see this headed?
Oh, man, I don't even know.
You know, are we going to have another, is Amazon going to come in the mix?
They are. I mean, they filed trademarks for Amazon Tube. Where's my finger? And OpenTube.
OpenTube.
Yeah, it could. So I'm guessing it could be either of those names. I think those are all. I think those are both terrible names.
Like, they're terrible.
You just named it that because of YouTube. That's that's bad.
I think YouTube should have
been
a
totally different name. It just. I mean, if we're being honest, if anyone's going to do it, if anyone is going to have the infrastructure and the funds, it's going to be Amazon, right? I mean. Jeff Bezos is now the richest dude in the world. Amazon's not running out of money anytime soon. You saw it, like, the best competitor or the best, you know, other video platform was Twitch, right? And the dude that started Justin TV is also the dude that started Twitch.
Yeah.
And Twitch outgrew itself. They didn't have the money to have the infrastructure anymore. They couldn't support it, and they had to accept a buyout. And Amazon has AWS.
Yeah.
So... They certainly have the infrastructure to do it, so it made sense for them to buy Twitch, and now they have the funds and everything to run it smoothly. There's nothing saying that Amazon couldn't have the infrastructure and the funds to make a YouTube competitor. They're going to do it. I can't tell you their exact plans, but I mean, I do work with execs and have meetings with Amazon, so I do know a lot about the platform that I can't talk about.
Yeah.
But I can say it's coming.
Very interested to see how this affects YouTube, you know? And is it going to come down? See, the argument is they need to get, you know, the argument is, well, you got the big stars, everybody will go over. And that's not the case. I think if you get people if you make the platform attractive to the everyday person to go on there, mm-hmm. they're going to go on there. But we're in a very different world. You know, YouTube... made their money off of, you know, stupid meme videos, vlogs, and piracy. If you were to ask me, I think piracy is the only way that YouTube exploded. You know what the first video I ever watched on YouTube was? A Family Guy video.
Yeah.
And then wrestling
That's another thing about what they've done now is that you can't monetize that stuff anymore. Like, channels that do that aren't going to get away with it.
Yeah, but people still put it up.
So, I mean, Amazon making their own platform, that's fine, but okay, Andrew, from our business perspective,
yeah,
do you think that, let's say Amazon's successful, right? They make this platform, and a lot of people move there. I feel like we're going to end up with the same problems. We're going to be dealing with the same advertisers, these same big brands that are going to require the same criteria. We're gonna be dealing with these problems all over again.
Of course we're gonna. Of course that's gonna happen.
Well, so is a new platform the answer?
I do think. Listen, competition is always a
competition
positive.
Is good, competition but I feel drives like innovation,
and the more competition you have, the more platforms that exist, the more competitive it is, and it's better for the end user and the consumer at the end. I think the problem here is that who's YouTube's competitor at the moment?
Nobody right now.
I mean, there's Daily Motion.
No.
And God, I mean,
they don't have a real competitor.
I mean, you know what's crazy? Daily Motion has been around forever, okay? Daily Motion. I don't know anybody that's using this platform. We were on it. They were, but they've changed their entire front page.
Everyone, now, they all have to survive.
Now,
I'm surprised Daily Motion's around.
It's amazing that they're around. You know, I can't find anything that I like on their front page. You know, there's no viral videos.
Can you think of video platforms that were around that have lived and died at the hands of YouTube? I mean, we had Metacafe, we had Rever, we had Google Video.
Google Video
couldn't even succeed. So they bought YouTube.
Metacafe would have been it, right? Metacafe was the big one. What was it? Live Leaks, right?
I mean, Live Leaks still exists, but it's just, you know, awful, gross content that is uploaded there that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anybody else, really. We just had VidMe, and that crashed and burned. It was just the thing with VidMe was it was just a group of kids that made the website. They were like, oh, this is the YouTube competitor, right? All the bad stuff that YouTube is doing, we're not going to do. But they did not have the money. They could not support it, and they had to quit.
Vimeo now is just a hosting company for, you know.
Vimeo's turned more into like the pro side of things, right?
Yeah, they're on the pro side.
You pay monthly, and
it seems like Daily Motion has also taken that initiative as well, where it's highly produced content. I mean, Blip TV, remember Blip.TV?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're another one.
A YouTube network bought them. Maker Studio bought them and killed them.
Yeah, and then shut them down. So it's constantly changing. Now, I don't know what the answer is going to be. I think you need, in order to survive, you need to be, like, I'll give you an example. Right now I'm looking at this, okay? My recommended list. James Gandolfini of The Sopranos giving his Golden Globe speech.
What website are you on?
I'm on YouTube right now. I'm just looking at, you know, my recommended stuff. How much is Dwight worth? Dwight Schrute's net worth, because I like The Office.
I love The Office.
It's wrestling stuff. It's a lot of Sopranos stuff, because I got on a Sopranos kick the last couple days, so that's all that's being recommended to me.
I love how you get stuck in the vortex, one video,
dude,
and then it's all that stuff recommended to you. Watched one.
But I watched so many. It's not one. I watched so many.
So you did the damage to yourself.
I did so much damage to myself. So here's John Gotti, 1996 HBO movie. I went down this Jerry Lewis rabbit hole the other day. So it's Jerry Lewis recommendations. Joe Rogan finds out something huge about Antarctica. Boy, I want to see that one.
Video title?
Windows Weekly with Paul Theroux. The Office Season 2. I'm just going down my recommended list here. And it's actually pretty accurate. I'm going to tell you something. YouTube is really good at that front page for me. It's very good. You know, unfortunately, this is all, you know, The Sopranos. Meadows tries to buy meth from Christopher. It's uploaded by this guy named Drink the Wine 1. And it has 315,000 views from
exactly,
4 years
but
ago.
How many subscribers does he have?
Let's find out. That's a good question. What do I see?
What? Just click on it.
He has 263 subscribers.
Boom. His exactly. Other videos, and that's why those people can't make it anymore.
So his other videos. Wow, this is really bizarre. This guy makes some really weird videos, okay? So Snowtoe from 2 weeks ago has 7 views. And then he has Alex Jones, Pantera, Cemetery Gates, and Alex Jones singing Danzig Mother. Joey Diaz on Charlotte Good Morning. This guy just uploads bizarre stuff. Tony makes AJ's therapy sessions about him.
But it's that's the thing, though. It's all clickbait content to get in views and money. Now, those people can't monetize those videos.
Howard
Stern.
Now
they will go away.
Howard Stern stuff. Gary the... this is a bizarre vortex. So what? This guy has no rhyme or reason to upload these things.
Money.
So he was monetizing at one point, and now he's probably not.
Yeah. That's well, all these YouTube partner program stuff. The changes take effect on February 20th.
Yeah, this is interesting. So I mean, this is going to go bye bye. But guess what? If I wanted to find a specific quote from a movie or whatever, you're not going to get that on another platform. They're not going to be able to, you know. People let things slide because it's YouTube a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it's good for brands to kind of have these videos out there because guess what I'm doing now? I'm watching The Sopranos back on HBO. I redid my HBO Now, my HBO Go subscription.
I only get HBO once a year and it's just for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but I redid it just so I can
watch
Sopranos again.
I love that we have that option now. And you don't have to get it through your cable package and have it all the time.
Yeah. This is interesting. It's an interesting change. And we could talk about this for days. But it is time to wrap it up. John Prosser, man, thank you so much for doing this. I had a lot of fun today with you.
I had a lot of fun, too.
There's a lot of talk about a lot of nothing, but it was very interesting. It's a very different
conversation. That's always your best, though.
Yeah, it's always the best. It's always the best. Where can people find you?
You can just search Front Page Tech. Do the Googling. We're on YouTube, Front Page Tech, on Twitter, Front Page Tech. Or I'm on Twitter if you just want to talk to me, at John_Prosser.
Very good.
Do you agree with Johns that spell the name with an H? I think they're wrong.
I actually got annoyed with John without the H.
Oh.
I met someone that spells his name Johnny, but without a Y. Do you Johnny with an IE or a Y? What do you pick?
No, Johnny with an IE is not.
It's weird.
No.
Yeah, I don't like you.
That's like a fruity drink.
A Johnny? Hey, listen, give me a Johnny, but I want a double.
I want a Johnny with the IE, please.
I want a Johnny with the IE. And people in Twitch saying they had fun, too. Thanks so much. Guys, go to our website, gfknetwork.com. You can subscribe there. We're everywhere podcasts are available. We're on YouTube. You can subscribe to What the Tech on YouTube. We're everywhere. And that's it. That's it for this week. Sayonara.